Well, it is indeed a privilege to be able to gather again tonight under the tabernacle. I do want to thank you for allowing me to come these days. I have met new brothers and sisters that I wasn't aware that I had, and I've enjoyed it. Amen. I would ask that you would pray for us, that the Lord would ever be with us and help us. Lord willing, I'll begin right near Chicago Sunday morning. And so you pray. Leave it here, going there is like Philip being called out of Samaria, going to Gaza. Amen, but there could be an Ethiopian there that needs help. And I do bless the Lord for His goodness and His grace. I want us to open our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And I want to read the last three verses. And then I'll read one verse in Hebrews 4. Now whether I'll get there or not, I don't know. But I do want to look at three verses in Matthew 11 and one in Hebrews 4. Notice, if you will, in Matthew chapter 11, very familiar scripture, in verse number 28, Jesus, giving the invitation here, says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, notice verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Then I want to read in Hebrews 4 and verse number 9. Where the Bible says, "There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God." I want to deal tonight, God being a helper, on this last night, on this thought, the reality of restfulness. The reality of restfulness. Let's ask the Lord to help us, Father. Thank you for the privilege that you've given us together tonight here under this tabernacle. Thank you, Lord, for the good presence of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I believe that the closest we can get to heaven without going is when the people of God have gathered together and you're in the midst. Thank you, Lord, for your presence tonight. Thank you for these who have assembled together. I pray now that your will would be accomplished. I pray that you would work in the hearts of the discouraged and the despondent and the despairing. And then, Lord, that you may deal in the hearts of the unsaved and you might bring them unto the acknowledgement of yourself by the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray your blessings upon these churches that's assembled here tonight. I pray, Lord, that these meetings, these weeks, God would begin a fire in the hearts of the people of God and that they would continue on for the glory of God. I pray you'd pull a big umbrella of protection down around every one of them and you'd run the devil off from their premises and God, that they could do a word for your honor. Have your will in your way. Bless every pastor, every man of God. I pray you would encourage them and strengthen them in these days. And we'll certainly thank you for all that you do. For it is in Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The reality of restfulness. As I travel across the country week after week, there's one thing that I become aware of is that most folk don't know much about what it is to rest. Matter of fact, if you're unsaved, then there is no rest. But I want you to know what is saddening my heart is there's many of the people of God that's experiencing an unrest in these days. They're seeing everything that's going on, and the devil creeps up on their shoulder and whispers in their ear, I wonder if your God really is in charge. I want to tell you, yes, yes, yes. He is in charge. And everything is right on schedule. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? I'm telling you, we can rest in that fact. I want to look tonight at these verses here. Notice, if you will, in verse number 28. Jesus saying now, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want to call this salvational rest. This is rest that he said that he would give if you come unto him. I remember that morning in the cab of that old 1975 KW 18-wheeler. Eastbound Interstate 40, 383 mile marker, 8:30 on Tuesday morning, August the 2nd, 1980. Before they ever fixed malfunction junction, traffic everywhere, but I was under such a load I didn't know what to do. God had been working conviction in my heart for about 3 long weeks, and that morning I couldn't handle it any longer. And I cried out to him and I said, oh God, would you save me by your grace? And he said, I sure will. And I'm telling you, he saved me that morning. And I've been saved ever since. And I want you to know, friend, since that day, there's been an unusual peace that's down on the inside. Now, when I get to moving away from him, that peace seems to subside. But when I crawl up in his lap, I found there is the place of restfulness. Aren't you glad that he's got a great big lap that all of us can get in at the same time? What a God we serve tonight. He said, come unto me and I will give you rest. I'm just going to mention this one because I want to get to the second point. But I want us to think about there in Mark chapter 5, you know the story. That old Gadarian maniac. Matter of fact, he is the perfect example of restlessness. Oh, there was no rest about him at all. Matter of fact, the Bible said that he ran day and night. That tells me there wasn't no time left. Day and night he was running in the tombs, cutting himself. And my friend, no man could tame him. They tried, but there was no rest in his soul. And I say, my friend, but I'm glad that one day across the Mediterranean, there come a little ship, and there on that ship was he who said, I can give you rest. I'm glad there come a boatload of rest across that sea. Hallelujah. And I'm glad the next time we see that old boy, you know where he is? Seated at the feet of Jesus. You know what that tells me? I'm telling you, he's resting in what God has done in his soul. Let me say tonight, if you're here and you know nothing about that rest and that settledness, there's a good possibility that you don't have it. But if you do, then you know what I'm talking about. Oh, in those days, in my lost condition, I was 27 years of age when the Lord saved me. Oh, I spent a good portion of my strong life back there for the devil. I was going to make my mark in the world in the music field and already had contracts signed. But oh, God said, no, That you're not going that way. I said, that's the way I'm going. But there was no rest involved. I was searching for something that would fill that void in my soul. And that morning, praise God, He saved me by His grace. And it's been different ever since. It's been different. Amen. So we see that the biblical illustration that He will give you rest is that old maniac of Gadara. If you're here tonight and you can't find that longing to feel that longing in your soul, Jesus is the only one that can fill that void that's in your soul. Now go back with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 11. Notice, if you will, in verse 29. Bible, this is Jesus again. He said, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. He said, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye, now watch it, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now, if He has already given rest, why must we take the yoke to be able to find rest? Somebody said, well, I just thought it was all rest. Well, here's what I've learned and understood, and I knew it before I ever found it in the Scripture. I had experienced it. When the Lord saved me, He gave me a rest there. But then after a period of time, I became restless again. You know why? Because He had something for me to do. And that yoke that He says to take up is a servant's tool. And that yoke is you're to take it up and you're to do the will of God. And there you find rest unto your soul. There's a lot of people that saved by the grace of God. And you remember when the Lord put that peace in your heart. But now you're sitting and you're finding yourself becoming restless again. Can I tell you why? It's because in the family of God, in the field of labor, there's a will for every person that's saved by the grace of God. And that will is to do the bidding of the Holy Ghost that God has given us to do, and get in the yoke. And in that yoke is where you find rest unto your soul. Amen. There's a fellow told me the other day, he was asking for a meeting. And I said, sir, I'm sorry. I don't have anything that you want for the next 8 years. And it aggravated him. And he said, well, you're going to kill yourself. I said, no. I said, I'm resting. Somebody said, how are you resting? In the yoke that the Lord's given. And whenever you find yourself in that yoke, there's an additional strength that comes from somewhere. And when you're doing the will of God, there's a restfulness that's involved there. You can't rest doing nothing, but you can while you're busy in the work of God. Is that not right? The reason some folk are unsettled and unrestful is that they've never gotten into the will of God that He has for us. If you'll study over there in 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, I believe it is, in verse 28, there's a list of the different ministries that God gives individuals. Right down in the middle of that verse, there's a ministry of helps. Helps. Somebody said, what is a ministry of helps? Well, the best I can understand, it's a ministry of helps. I've looked at it and studied it. Somebody said, well, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do. Then help somebody who does know what they're supposed to do. And you help until God gives you something to do. I do know this. That word's mentioned only one other time in the Word of God. You know where that helps is? You'll find it again, and it's the same word if you'll look it up. Acts chapter 27, in that storm, that great storm, Euryclidon, and the Bible said that the storm had to sail the ship, and they settled on the island. And the Bible said that they undergirded the ship with helps. That's the very same word. You say, what do you say? That ship stayed together as long as the ministry of helps was involved. Hallelujah. It wasn't the one driving the boat. It wasn't those up there on the crewman. Praise God. It was those helps, those unseen outside helps that was holding the ship together during the midst of the storm. Somebody said, I believe our ship's about to go down. Not as long as the helps are doing their job. It cannot go down. Hallelujah. You see, most folk, and I dealt with this the other night, most folk want to be applauded for what they do. Can I tell you what keeps the thing together? It's those unseen, unheard ministries that's down underneath doing their job without anybody knowing anything about it. And the ship can stay together in the storm as long as the helps are doing their part. So, it's not that we don't know what to do. It's that we just need to get doing what we know we're supposed to do. And he said, if you'll take my yoke upon you, then he said, learn of me. Now I want you to get this right here. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You see, this is not a one ox yoke. This is a two ox yoke. And there's a place in the yoke for you. And there's somebody else already in the other side. Because he said, he didn't say take your yoke upon you. But he said take my yoke upon you. And then learn of me. And he said as you study me, you'll find that I'm meek and lowly in heart. And as you study me and understand my meekness and my loneliness, then you'll find rest unto your soul. You know what you'll find out when you get in the yoke with him? You're not the one doing the pulling, no way. Amen. I'm telling you, we got a great God and the burden is on him. He just wants us to be submissive unto his will. And there is where restfulness is found. Now, he said, take my yoke upon you. Now watch this. And learn of me. I'm afraid a lot of times when we take the yoke, we study the yoke. We learn the yoke. We polish the yoke. We see how easy we can get the yoke. But the Lord said, you take the yoke upon you and then you study me. And as you study me, you'll find that I'm meek and lowly in heart. And then you'll find rest unto your soul. I believe where we're missing in these days, men of God, is that we're studying everything but him. We're seeing everything but him. And that's why the burden has become so heavy that we can hardly bear it. But he said, if you'll take that yoke upon you and you study him, then there's rest comes from understanding who he is. Now, I'm kind of sensing that they ain't many understanding what I'm preaching. But I'm trying to tell you, I believe we need to study all we can. But if you study anything more than you do Him, you're going to be in trouble when the load gets heavy. Boy, that's what Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. He didn't say, I want to know about Him. That's the yoke. He said, I want to know Him. That's who's in the yoke. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, folk, there is the reality of restfulness when we submit our all to the Lord. There's probably someone here tonight that's been running from the will of God. I want to tell you, and you'll never run away from it. I thought about this. You remember when Moses came to the burning bush and he threw that rod down and it turned into a serpent? Now, that wasn't no garden snake. Moses been in the desert 40 years. That's one of the most poisonous snakes there is. Because he runs from it. He don't run from snakes. He's a shepherd. But he runs from this one. And then when the Bible, God told him out of the bush to take it up, it didn't say he had to go back to the bush to get it. What was it, preacher? Well, he ran from it. And when the Lord told him, take it up, you know where it was at? Right after him. You'll never outrun what it is God has for you to do. You'll never go to another country, another church, another place. I tell you, it'll be like that serpent. It's right on you. And it'll eat you up if you don't take it up. Yeah. Now when Moses picks that snake up by the tail, it turns into a rod again. But to Moses, this ain't just no rod no more. This is a snake rod. And he knows that if he don't do the will of God, some night God could turn that rod into a snake again. Hey, I'm trying to tell you, you just can't lay the ministry down. I'm telling you, God wants us to get in that yoke and study Him and go with Him. You remember later on, Moses threw that rod down. It turned to a snake. And those soothsayers did the same thing. And all of those turned into snakes too. But Moses' snake swallowed theirs up. Now his rod ain't just one snake. What I'm trying to say is the further you go, the more dangerous it becomes to move away from the will of God. You better listen to what I'm saying here again. I don't know why I'm here, but we're here. Somebody said, that ain't much of a closing service. Oh, it is if you can get rest in your soul. Hey, listen to me. If God's giving you something to do, do it. It doesn't matter what it is, just do it. There you'll find rest unto your soul. Somebody said, preacher, it seems to me like that if you would take up a yoke, that would do away with your rest. But you see, God's ways are not our ways. Listen to me. A lot of folk are trying to find rest in freedom. I want to say something to you. There's only rest being incarcerated in the will of God. A lot of folks say, well, I want to get as far away from God as I can. You'll never find any rest there. There is no freedoms without rules and regulations. Amen. There is no freedom without rules. Let me ask you, you know what the prodigal found out? He was under rules and regulations at daddy's house, So he's going to enjoy freedom. But he finds out he was free at daddy's. When he left the farm, he found out he found himself in bondage. And you know what he's doing? He's going back under the regulations of daddy's house so he can be free again. Amen. I'm trying to say to you, God's made us different. Hallelujah. Let me ask you, who was more free? Noah in the ark or everybody outside it? Who's more free? Daniel in the den of lions or those that threw him in? Who's more free? The three Hebrew boys in the furnace or those others on the outside? I'm just simply saying, in the will of God, dependent on God, believing God, it's where real freedom and real restfulness comes from. Please understand the truth of that tonight. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And you'll find that I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. And that rest is found. It's not just given, but you got to find it. That is right. Somebody said, boy, I'd like to be as free as a fish. Fish ain't free. It's free to live in the water. But you get it out of the water, it ain't free no more. You get it out of what it was made for, it is no longer free. Are you understanding? God has given us a work and a will to do, and he's given us something to do. Find what it is, and there, get doing it, and you'll find a rest that you never knew was available. And this world, church world tonight, needs that. I know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord for the rest that we receive, salvational rest. The rest that we recover, that serving rest. But then let me give you the last thought. I am going to get to it. Hebrews chapter 4. I want you to listen very carefully to this. There's thirdly rest that we retain. This is settled rest. Rest that settles us. Notice what it says in verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Now, a lot of folk would interpret that as the rest that's to come when we get to heaven. That's not heavenly rest here that he's dealing with. Notice what he said in verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also ceased from his own works as God did from his. What's he talking about? How can you rest like God rested? Well, when did God rest? Was he ever tired? No. Well, when did he need to rest? When did God rest? On day 7, back there in Genesis 2, the Bible said, and God rested from all of his labor. Now listen carefully. God rested. When did God make Adam? Does anybody know? Day 6. So Adam's first day is resting. God made Adam on day 6. Why didn't God make Adam on day 1 and let Adam have him? Boy, that would have been a conglomeration, wouldn't it? God didn't make Adam on day 1 and say, now Adam, I need you to help me finish the work. No, God did all of the work and said, it is finished. And Adam's first day with God was a day of rest. Now you've got to get a hold of this. The reason some folk are so nervous and so tore up and so restless is that they're trying to merit, trying to do enough work to merit a peacefulness and a restfulness with God. Can I tell you, it'll never happen. He's already done all of the work. What God told Adam, he told Adam after he planted the Garden of Eden, he said, what I want you to do is I want you to take care of what I've already done. I don't want you to plant no more gardens. I don't want you to replant nothing in the garden. I just want you to take care of what I have given you. Oh, Lord, I'm telling you, this is a great positional truth right here. If you can ever understand that the Lord God of glory has already done it all. He's already accepted us like we are, washed us in the precious blood of the Lamb of God, and there's nothing we can do to improve on that. Oh, may God help us to understand. I believe we ought to live right, do right, spit white if you can. I believe we ought to do right. But none of that is going to bring any more rest in your soul. We ought to do it. But I'm telling you, we've got a great God in heaven who's done all the work. When Jesus hung on the cross, he cried, "It is finished," and I'm resting in that tonight. There remaineth a rest for the people of God, the same rest like God had when he rested from his work. Let me give you this and I'm done. Listen, we find over there in Acts chapter 12, they've killed James. They've cut his head off. Today's Easter, and tomorrow they're going to do the same to Simon Peter. Now, if I'm dying tomorrow, I ain't sleeping tonight. I mean, if I know if the sentence has already been passed, I'm probably going to stay up a while. And Simon Peter, the execution's already set. But guess where he is? How could he do that, preacher? I wish I could get something like that. You know why he's arrested? Because back over yonder in John 21, before Jesus ascended, you remember when he dealt with Simon Peter and asked him if he loved him three times? Then he tells Simon Peter, he said, "Simon, there's going to come a day when you're not going to be able to walk." He said, "I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest." He said, "Simon Peter, there's coming a day when you're going to get old, you're not going to be able to dress yourself. You're going to become handicapped. You're going to become crippled. And somebody else is going to have to carry you where you're going." And Simon Peter knew. He walked in that prison. He was able to put his own clothes on. And he knew he wasn't dying tomorrow, because he was resting his head on what God had already told him. Hey, I'm telling you, there's a rest that comes from what God's already done. And when the angel came in there and had to wake him up, smote him on the side, He confirmed every bit of that in John 21. He raised him up and said, gird thyself. And bind on thy sandals. We're going for a walk. And he did so. And he got up and cast his garment about him and headed out. I'm telling you, somebody said, man, is that available for us? Oh, yes. I hold in my hand the blessed, infallible, pure, inerrant Word of God. You can go to sleep on it. It's right. You don't have to worry yourself to death. We got the Word of God. The Word of God. The finished work of God. You can rest on it. Rest on it. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. Take a yoke on you. And learn of me. Then you'll find rest. And as you learn of me. He said, you'll find that your load is easy and your burden light. Oh, Lord, I hope you get just a little of that. I'm trying to say to you, folk, in these days of heartbreak and heartache, and in these days of unrest, the people of God have a rest. Make use of it. Praise God, make use of it. It'll sure help you. Amen. Let's stand. Let's come to the music. Brother Kenneth, you come. I've given you what God's given me to give. And I sure do hope that you'll take advantage of that rest of God. What a great God that He is. Come ahead.